Good morning. This is Les Harms of the Adams County Historical Society, welcoming you to another segment of Adams County History. On the last moment in time, I told of the positives and the negatives of the development of the Naval Ammunition Depot that was southeast of Hastings. I spoke of the impact on Adams County, especially the city of Hastings. The positives dealt with the economic impact in Hastings. The negatives concerned the farmers having to give up their land and the cultural clash of different types of people suddenly moving into the area. One topic I did not have time for was the housing for NAD workers. You see, when it was announced that the depot would be moving to Hastings, housing was absolutely unavailable throughout Adams and Clay County. Every available room was rented out in towns and farmsteads. Garages, attics, basements, sheds were used as sleeping quarters. Newspapers, radio, begged area residents, try to provide a sleeping space that would accommodate the war effort. People often slept in shifts in some of the rooms just to get some rest. And so to resolve the crisis, the government had several housing projects that were quickly built. The first was called Windswept Village, and it was at the NAD. It consisted of 40 of the confiscated farm homes that were located on the west end of the headquarters area for married officers and key personnel. Naval officers, Marines, Coast Guard personnel were housed on the NAD. Married military personnel could live off at the base if they had special permission. The Navy enlisted barracks was built south of the headquarters area, and that accommodated almost 1,600 black sailors assigned to the NAD. Pleasant Hill Trailer Camp was a federal housing project adjacent to the Hastings City Trailer Park. Over 500 mobile homes were placed on this 20-acre site. The units were 8 by 24 with electricity only. 20% were expandable for larger families. Rent, $6 a week. There was community toilets, community showers, community laundry units in each cluster, and the area was patrolled night and day by the military police. Next, the Hastings City Trailer Park was located on the Adams County Fairgrounds where Hastings High School is now located. There were 200 mobile home spaces with electricity only. In other parts of Hastings, there were 4 privately owned trailer sites for 40 or more units. The fairground buildings were converted into toilets, showers, and laundries. One lady recalled there were 6 Ringer-type washing machines for families to use in the fairgrounds buildings. Then, there was Prairie Village. The Maxim Construction Company moved in 40 abandoned barracks to house 1,500 workers during the NAD construction. By 1944, 750 civilian single male workers were housed here rent-free. Some buildings were remodeled into 97 apartments for worker families. It, too, was patrolled by military police. There was Spencer Park housing, consisted of 840 cinder block, gypsum roof housing units built on 116 acres that could accommodate 4,000 people. It was called Chimney Town because each unit had a brick chimney protruding from a small coal-fired stove. Only NAD employees could live there. Rent was between $20 and $36 a month. It also was patrolled by the military police. Several hundred Native Americans were recruited from the Midwest reservations to serve as laborers. Most brought their families with them. They lived in tents along the edge of the NAD. By 1944, they could get into Pleasant Hill Camp and also into Prairie Village. In July of 1944, the Federal Homeowners Loan Corporation financed the conversion of 234 older residences into multiple-use dwellings. They also financed the construction of new single and duplex houses, over 1,000 in Hastings. And in the 21st century, there are several neighborhoods of these well-built small homes in Hastings. Well, another topic I did not have time to speak of, the fatal explosions of the NAD. There were four fatal explosions at the NAD in World War II, and all happened in 1944. A total of 21 people were killed. Hundreds were seriously injured. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of structure, equipment, and explosives were destroyed. The major explosions caused concussion damage many miles away from the NAD. The possible loss of loved ones employed there struck fear into the hearts of their family members at home. After an explosion, the base was locked down. No one was allowed to enter or leave the facilities. No phone calls. People simply had to wait for hours to learn the fate of their loved ones. The first explosion took place on January 6th of 1944. It was the first loss of life. The workers, three block sailors, had just come back from a 15-minute break during a covered walkway to an assembly line. One worker told that he was in the walkway at the time, and he was seriously wounded. He said, "I was the first on the scene, and I tried to help the injured men, but all three died within an hour. Streets in the factory area were named in their honor." Well, just in a brief synopsis, explosion number two was on April 6th of 1944, when over 100,000 pounds of TNT exploded, and eight civilians were killed, and five of them were completely vaporized. Folks, what I mean is the area 1/2 mile in all directions around the explosion was walked, and not one body part could be found. They were totally vaporized. 89 workers were seriously injured. Explosion number three on June 6th of 44. One man killed when a detonator was working on and exploded and decapitated him. Explosion 4, September 15th of 1944. A transfer depot blew up when 1 million pounds of explosives ignited. This was the sixth largest man-made explosion in recorded history at that time. It created damage 100 miles away. A huge mushroom cloud boiled up and drifted northward, raining down ash for many hours. The building simply disintegrated. 10 people were killed and 50 were injured. All workers killed in the explosion were civilians. A monument is on south of Inland on the NAD property that tells of these people. One woman was a supervisor of the women cleaning the building and ground wiring the depth charges. She was 36 years old. She had a 4-year-old son. She was on the phone with her husband 10 minutes prior to the explosion. Another lady was near the center of the building when it blew up. 47 years old, had 3 sons in the military. They all returned safely. She and her husband had moved from Iowa for the NAD jobs. Their 16-year-old daughter was shaken awake by the blast that killed her mother, and she was 12 miles away living in Spencer Park. Her mother disappeared from her life in that instance. In 1945, World War II ended, and production slowed down at the Naval Ammunition Depot. However, with the Korean War starting again in 49 and 50, the NAD was reactivated, and by 1954, 3,000 civilians were again working at the NAD. Then, December 24th, 1958, Hastings NAD was declared obsolete. disestablishment was ordered, and decommission was to take place on June 30th of 1966. At that time, the facility would be turned over to the Government Services Administration for disposal as government disposed property. So, what about cleaning up the depot? Over 10,000 railroad boxcars and semi-truckloads of ordnance, materials, equipment, all were hauled away from the depot. Many square miles of NAD land were rented out to farmers for grain crops, hay, and livestock through all these years. And so we conclude another moment in time in the history of Adams County that impacted our county so tremendously and so many people. For more information on the NAD, again, I tell you, Walt Miller has authored a fine story about the NAD, and I can highly recommend this book to be purchased at the Adams County Historical Society. So, this moment in time has been a presentation of the Adams County Historical Society. We invite you to listen, to learn, and please consider joining our society. It's important to us to preserve the history of our county. And you know, you can visit our website at adamshistory.org. And so, this is Les Harms inviting you to tune in again on the second and the fourth Friday of every month. Thank you for listening.